This conference will now be recorded.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the April 20th, 2023 Citizens Ethics Advisory Board meeting for our first, well, let's first do attendance. Nichelle Mullins, we know she can't join us today. Mary Bigelow? Charles Trisano?
Here.
Cheryl Lipson?
Here.
Karen Cristiana?
Here.
Jason Farrell?
Here.
Laura Schuyler?
Here.
Very good, thank you. First order of business is the minutes of the meeting from March 16th, 2023. Can I get a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Charles? Jason, you want a second? Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstaining?
Cheryl.
Thank you, Cheryl. That motion passes. Thank you. In terms of my report, Laura, you're off the hook for May 11th because we don't have any items for the hearing. But we do have a hearing coming up on June 8th, to the extent that you or anyone else who would be interested in volunteering.
I have a secret follower.
Any takers?
June 8th.
Wait a second.
I have a meeting at noon, but otherwise, I don't know what time the hearing would be.
Sounds like Charles is volunteering for June, so we'll let Charles take June 8th. Thank you so much, Charles. And the only other announcement I have is my public service announcement that your SFI filing is due by May 1st. So please, let's make sure that none of us are late in our filing. That would be interesting. All right, Mary Ann, we're going to move next to the consideration of draft advisory opinion number 2023-2, the petition from Emily Burnett. Mary Ann, are you with us? Oh, there she is.
Yes, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, great. Good afternoon. This is pretty straightforward. This draft opinion stems from a request for a formal advisory opinion from Emily Burnett, a Connecticut career training planning analyst at the Office of Policy and Management, concerning the SFI reporting requirements for student loans refinanced through the Connecticut Higher Education Supplemental Loan Authority, CHESLA, which is a quasi-public agency. Ms. Burnett had previously requested and received an informal opinion concerning the same facts. The plain language of the law is clear. General Statute Section 1-83 B1G requires FFI filers to disclose any contracts with a quasi-public agency held or entered into by the individual. Therefore, an SFI filer must report student loans refinanced with CHESLA via a promissory note as a contract with a quasi-public agency under the leases and contracts section of the form. Further, if the amount of a student loan with CHESLA or with any other entity exceeds $10,000, the SFI filer is required to report the student loan under the form's creditor section. This draft opinion applies long-standing established principles of statutory construction. Because subdivision G contains no exceptions, and the language of the statute is clear and unambiguous and states that disclosure is required for any contracts with a quasi-public agency, the board cannot create an exception where none exists. And if any person would like to change this provision or seek a change, the proper avenue would be the General Assembly and not the board. So if there are any questions, I'm happy to field them.
Questions for Mary Ann? I have maybe just a suggested minor tweak to the language in the final paragraph, the only paragraph about the creditor section, just to add an SFI filer also is required to report the student loan under the creditor, just to make clear that it's required in both places.
Okay. Yeah, I see. Yeah, NSFI is also. Okay, yeah, we can add that word. Thank you.
Anything else for Mary Ann on that? All right, and so can I get a motion to approve the draft advisory opinion number 2023-2 as amended here?
So moved.
Four. Oh, second.
Karen. Oh, very good. First and second. Thank you, Karen and Cheryl. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? That motion passes. Thank you very much. We're going to have to separate the two of you.
This is it. I'm not sitting confused.
Let's go over to our general counsel, Brian O'Dowd, for the legal division report.
Good afternoon, board members. Brian O'Dowd for the record. I don't have anything to add. You see that the regulations are moving forward. We're actually going over there to the regs review committee next Tuesday, I believe it is, right, Peter?
Yep.
And the it looks like the LCO recommended approval of our regulations with some minor technical changes that they gave to us. So they went through them themselves and little things, you know, commas here or, you know, quotation marks there. Mary Ann's actually going through and making those little technical changes now, and we'll head over there on Tuesday, and hopefully we're in the final stretch. So that's it. And if you have any questions about any of the report or any of the informal staff opinions, let me know.
Questions for Brian? All right. Thank you very much for that, Brian. On to the Enforcement Division report, Mark Wazalewski.
No, thank you, Chair Castricone. Good afternoon, board members. Just a few things to report. You have the enforcement report in your packet. A few highlights. The third and fourth quarter initiative for the two Ds has resulting in $3,705 in penalties. The two A's are also in there. What we're working on right now are the first quarter ETH 2D reports that were due April 10th. By April 10th, we have 9 notices of hearing. We're in the middle of a grace period. We anticipate there's going to be a few more notices of hearing at least that go out, but we don't know if any hearings will go forward in June. We also know that SFIs are due soon, so I would expect that at least a few notices of hearing go out once that grace period is done, but we have a little bit of time before that. If you have any questions at all, I'd be glad to address them.
Questions for Mark? All right, thank you very much for that. And so then on to Mark Creighton and Carol for the lobbyist audit report. We've got you.
Thank you, Chair Castricone. Good afternoon, board members. In your package, you have the audit reports for Conair Corporation and Boys and Girls Village, Inc. That we have completed. Both audit reports have findings. I will be presenting the Conair audit report, and Carol will be presenting the Boys and Girls Village audit report. Moving on to the Conair audit report, there are two findings. The first finding is that the understated payments totaling $3,190.50 in 2021 with communicators. As you'll note, there is a footnote reflecting that they have amended their filing to correct that. The second finding is that they filed their ETHB late. They should have filed prior to January 15th, 2021, and they filed that on January 17th, 2021. We're happy to answer any questions if there are any for that audit.
Any questions on the Conair audit? If there are none, can I have a motion to approve the audit report for Conair Corporation?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Karen, were you in favor or opposed? Favor. Okay. All those opposed? Abstaining? That motion passes. Thank you. Carol?
Thank you. Good afternoon, board members. Carol Langevin for the record. As Mark stated, you have the packet for Boys and Girls Village, Inc. We completed this audit. We also noted two findings with this one as well. One of our findings was an understatement to their communicator in the amount of $3,500 in 2020. They have amended to correct this understatement. The second finding was filing their 2D 31 days late, also in 2020. There were no other issues noted, and they have elected to include a response to the audit report, which is also in the packet. It has their plan corrective action, and we're happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions for Carol on this? All right, all those in favor of approving the audit report on Boys and Girls Village, Inc.?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Seema? All right, thank you, Carol. So let's go to our Executive Director, Peter Lewandowski, for our Education and Communications Report, likely the last month that you're filling in here, Peter, right?
For the Education Report, probably May will still be mine, because Carol...
Because you missed it.
Well, exactly. First, I miss it, and second, Sarah won't be back until May 8th, and so by the time... things, and she'll have to get up to speed. So May, I'll still claim. So yeah, in terms of education and media report for April, just have one update. There will be one more training, and this one will be the final training for members of the General Assembly. We held one yesterday, and I think because of the House and Senate not being in session, we had a low turnout. We still have 13 members who are outstanding, and I'll be sending out emails to them with my with folks from the legislative management who've been helping me out in this endeavor to alert the 13 members to be present for next Thursday, the 27th, when the House and Senate will be in session. I will also reach out to House leadership to kind of do a leadership nudge of these members, and hopefully they will all attend since this is a mandatory training. And in terms of, again, additional trainings are we're preparing for them as well in the month of May and June. I've been in contact with other agencies, and I just want to thank again Diane for preparing this month's media report. It's been pretty active as well, so there are quite a few articles for you to review. Any questions on the education or media report?
All right, go ahead.
If not, I'll move on to the legislative update. Our three bills been voted unanimously out of the committee, GAE committee, and have been placed on the Senate and House calendars to be acted on. Both House and Senate will be, again, as I said, in session next week. And I expect that following date, there will be meeting with a group more frequently. I'll be in conversations with the GAE co-chairs and ranking members, as well as leadership, to advance our bills early. That's always always the big ask, because as you've seen from experience, when we get bogged down in the final 2 weeks, things get really iffy. So that's where we are. So far, we haven't seen any adverse bills percolating out there. But again, we have to watch for amendments, and Melissa and Marianne will help me out in keeping tabs on what's going on out there. Hopefully nothing nefarious. So, but again, we'll keep our fingers crossed. So again, thank you to Melissa for preparing the legislative report. Any questions on the legislative front? All right, well then I'll move to my executive director's report. The first topic I want to cover is budget. This past Tuesday, on April 18th, the Appropriations Committee released its budget, and its recommendation is to provide us with the funding that we've requested, including the funding to obtain additional another staff attorney. And I know there will be some negotiation between the governor's office and the legislature to work out kind of reconciliation of the two budgets. I don't, again, anticipate any issues from our perspective. They're in agreement as to what to provide to the Office of State Ethics. So again, we should be in good shape moving forward. This, again, moves us to, or prompts me to start preparing for our new staff attorney. I'm in the process of, I've actually commenced the process of engaging OPM and DAS to increase our office footprint to obtain additional workstation for that staff attorney. That also involves the State Properties Review Board. That whole process, I've been told, takes up to 6 weeks of all approvals. And then we have to deal with obtaining the furnishings and installation of equipment. So hopefully, we're at the end of April. If everything goes smoothly, hopefully by the end of this fiscal year, by the end of June, we'll have everything in place with no hiccups. But again, we'll see. We'll keep our fingers crossed on that.
Meaning you could start hiring at that point.
Well, we can hire, the funding will be in as of July 1st, but I want to have everything in place. That we'll commence hiring immediately upon the start of the new fiscal year. In fact, I've also commenced the process of reclassifying, because our 16th position right now is an office assistant position, and that has to be reclassified to a staff attorney. That's really a formality. It still takes time, but that shouldn't be an issue because budget-wise, everyone is in agreement to provide us with that additional staff attorney position. All right, moving on. I want to thank Brian and Marianne for their work on the regulations. Again, as Brian noted, we're in the final stretch of the approval process, and I'll be attending with Brian and Marianne the regulations review committee meeting on Tuesday. But again, there's no rest for the weary. Soon thereafter, we'll start our substantive revisions. This will be obviously a more involved process, and will probably capture more attention from all the parties involved. So as we go through the year, you'll see we'll definitely bring substantive revisions to your attention for you to vote on. And then start the process again with the AG and the legislature. Audit of the Office of State Ethics for fiscal year 2020 and 2021. I have a draft of the Auditors of Public Accounts audit report. The official report will be released next week, sometime next week, I've been told by the auditors. There are two findings. I just want to give you a heads up because I will forward a copy once it's released officially next week. I will forward a copy of the report to board members. There are two findings, and they deal with inventories and late postings of deposits. And they all stem from the pandemic and our transition or transition relocation from Trinity Street here to this building. Inventories were not conducted in 2021 when they're usually conducted in May and June. That's the time when we were actually physically moving, and we had to leave all our equipment and everything, our old stuff. We couldn't even bring coat hangers at the old location. There wasn't really ability for us to conduct that audit. I'm sorry, inventory. In terms of late postings, as you know, we suspended our in-person operations. So we didn't have the ability to post the deposits that we've received in lobbyist registrations and also enforcement filings due to the fact that we were teleworking. The office was closed at the time, Now we've obtained a waiver from the Office of the Treasurer last fiscal year 2022. So going forward, we'll have exemptions for example, enforcement settlements and payments of enforcement proceedings for enforcement proceeding settlements. Going forward, we have a waiver that we've secured, and we will obtain that waiver every year. So those are two findings. If you remember, or if you recall, our last report for 17, 18, and 19 had four findings. Two of those were been corrected, so we're down to two. And I'm pretty confident that when you see the 2022 and 2023 audit report, the inventories and those late deposits should be resolved. So,
will they mention in that report that this was in the middle of the pandemic?
We have the opportunity. They won't, but I had the opportunity to comment.
So why would they have been a finding if we weren't permitted to be in the building? Were we supposed to have obtained a waiver earlier for those sorts of things? I mean, well, it seems to me to be.
That's
sounds like you need a lawyer.
Well, in terms of the waivers, we've obtained a waiver for enforcement settlements, and that's a limited waiver for that purpose. In terms of, and it's, this is an interesting thing, because previously we've been found of making late deposits, but not late postings of deposits. Two different things, which was news to me. Now, we're okay with late deposits, but evidently postings were not done properly. And there is part of that also stems, in addition to the closure of offices, is the fact that we need segregation of duties. That is Henry, Shauna Kang at the State Elections Enforcement Commission. They have segregated duties. There has to be more than one person involved in posting of deposits, so to make sure nothing improper takes place. And finally, SEEK, State Elections Enforcement Commission, had vacancy. They eventually filled that vacancy. Catherine, I can't remember her last name, who's now the third fiscal person that oversees the whole process of deposits, since we deal with over $1 million in lobbyist registrations on a biennial basis, and we also have enforcement settlements. So there definitely has to be some oversight. It should not rest on just one person.
Right.
But when you have a vacancy, that slows the process of postings and so on. And on top of it, with the closure of offices, it's just. And I conveyed this in the response. Agencies are given an opportunity to respond to the findings, and I provided context why these things have occurred. But it is what it.
Yeah, sure. No. It's just, you know, you especially when there are extenuating circumstances. Yeah.
I asked actually. We were looking into whether Governor Lamont, when he issued executive orders relative to the pandemic, whether there was an exemption for late deposits, and unfortunately, there wasn't one issued.
So we're not likely the only agency.
No. This is not just exclusive to us, but because we accept funds from lobbying community. I think any agencies that accept, cash checks from members of the public probably have similar finding because of that situation. So, but that's, I just wanted to give you a heads up so you know that it's coming, and I will email it to you so you can, this is a draft. There were a couple of small technical revisions, so I won't share the draft right now because the final report is coming up very soon. So, last item, just a reminder about the filing season. We thank you, Dina, for reminding us about the SFI filings. As of today, we have 2,693 required filers and 1,822 already filed. So we are, we're pretty good, actually, with less than, we're about 10 days away, yeah. Mm. We're 10 days, that's a good, actually, good intake. Again, most folks file in the final week of the season, so we should be in good shape, I think. We shouldn't have too many outstanding filings after May 1. If you need any assistance with the filing, just give us a call. We'll help you.
Bring in a thumb drive.
Or bring a thumb drive. Thank you, Charles.
Thank you, Peter.
That's all I have. Thank you. I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions for Peter? All right, we have reached the public comment portion of our meeting. I will, it doesn't look like there's any additional individuals online or in the room here, but I'll be silent for a moment just in case. Okay, we do not need a closed session, but we do need an executive session to discuss the evaluation of the executive director pursuant to General Statute 1-206A. Can I get a motion to move into executive session?
Yes, so moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstaining. Okay, we are in executive session. Thank you. Should we?